This is the Epilogue Audio Experience.
A quick disclaimer for our podcast, The SOS Show. Points discussed in this podcast should not be relied upon as conclusive medical advice in any case. The host shall not be a substitute for proper medical professional. You must seek professional help in case of any requirement. Thank you. Do you know that your brain works in different frequencies throughout the day, from the time you get up to the time you fall asleep and while you are sleeping? These frequencies are defined as beta, alpha, theta, gamma, delta. Hi guys, welcome to your favorite mental health and well-being podcast, The SOS Show, with me, Suchita. And today we have some real dope things that I love to talk about, and that is brainwaves. It's been researched and proven that the slower your brainwave frequency, the better your mental and physical health. It is also being researched that slower brainwave frequency gives you access to your subconscious mind. And it has been proven that our life, our decisions, our behavior, in fact, who we are, 95% of it is controlled by our subconscious mind and 5% by our conscious mind. So what's the big deal here? The big deal is that we do not know that 95% of the time we take decisions that are controlled by our subconscious programming. And if we access our subconscious mind and reprogram it according to the we that we want to become, or the life that we want to create, we will be able to manifest and fulfill the life we exactly want to live. In short, we can create our own universe. In short, we are the creators of our own world. So again, how do we do this? By being able to control our brainwaves and access our subconscious mind more frequently and reprogram it. Well, meditations are a way to do it. And since I have been digging into this bit for quite some time, I mystically came across this book, Change Your Brainwaves, by scholars and researchers Yukio and Suzanne, who explained this phenomenon through the practice of chantings. This episode is crossovered between The SOS Show and The Artist Podcast. Do check it out. Hi Yukio and Suzanne, welcome to our podcast. It's so lovely to have both of you on the show. And I absolutely loved your book that came to me by chance. And it's called Change Your Brainwaves to Change Your Karma. And I was so fascinated with the title that I said, I must read it right away. And you would not believe that I actually finished the whole book in a matter of 2 days.
Thank you, Suchita. Thank you so much for having us. It's really an honor for being on your show.
But it is also for us just not to talk about something subject, abstract and general, but, everything what we try to say is grounded and by Gosho or
the scripts of Nichiren, the writings of Nichiren.
Or by the measurement data and scientific, researches.
Yeah, we always want to really ground what we are saying by our measurements and really that we're not talking something in the air, but something down to earth.
Yeah, I was very fascinated because you have mentioned a lot of things, including the photographs, the measurements that you guys have done scientifically in terms of the brain waves, and also that you have met Dr. Joe Dispenza and Bruce Lipton. And I'm such a big fan of Dr. Joe Dispenza and his theories of, of quantum and how to sort of imagine the possibilities in your life.
Yeah, we didn't meet Bruce Lipton, but we've met Dr. Joe Dispenza, yes.
Almost 10 years ago.
10 years ago, when he wasn't so big yet. At that time, he was giving smaller seminars.
And we could, sit in the Netherlands and drinking coffee or, chatting on the table.
You could actually still approach him and ask him a question.
Now,
now that's not possible anymore.
Participants, not possible.
At the time there were maybe 100 people, now it's he does these big events with 7,000 people or something. You cannot talk to him anymore. But at the time we could, and And it was very, very, yes, we learned a lot. I mean, how to measure, how to interpret things and, you know, the different, how to apply these kind of measurements actually to chanting Daimoku, because that was what we were really interested in.
Yeah.
I mean.
Wow.
And, yeah. And maybe for us.
I mean, you met Dr. Joe Dispenza when he was not that big, when he had like 100 people around him, and now he has 7,000 people. Yeah, I mean, so it was very fascinating for me when I read that, and I was already thinking about it before your book came to me. I was already thinking, because I was following Dr. Joe Dispenza, and I was like, you know, following the Daimoku and the chants. I was not sort of, I was like, this two can come together so easily in terms of the explanation of things, in terms of the brainwaves and in terms of changing your karma. So just to start off with, because you've written such a wonderful book and everybody is fascinated nowadays about understanding brainwaves, and everyone is fascinated today about wanting to change their karma and dig deeper into life. So a very basic question for our listeners is, so we all know that brain waves are classified into alpha, beta, theta, gamma, and delta, five kind, as you've mentioned in the book as well. Would you like to take the listeners a bit through the classification and how does that impact our daily living?
I mean, like the fundamental question is, what are brain waves? You know, I mean, we all know we have brain waves, but they are like really like sequences, like, you know, impulses, electrical impulses, like, because our, the neurons in our brain, they constantly communicate with each other. And the way they communicate with each other depends on our state of mind, our emotions and our thoughts. And so these electrical impulses, I mean, they vibrate, these neurons vibrate at certain electrical, I mean, like frequencies and vibrations. And depending on how quick or slow or low or fast these vibrations are, that's the differentiation between our brain waves. For instance, like the beta brain wave, like now we're talking, and that's like, for instance, our brain waves when we are in beta, in a beta state, they vibrate between maybe 15 and 30 vibrations per second.
When it's active.
And you can measure this in hertz, actually. And so this is like the normal everyday focus. Like, you know, now we're talking, we're reading, we're going to work. Like we have to live our everyday life. We have to be alert. We have to be awake. We cannot be half asleep. This is beta. But it is for focus and alertness. But it can also, like, you know, become really high and really quick. Like, you know, maybe between 40 vibrations per second or even more. And then up to then it's like a state of fear and anxiety and stress. Yeah. But first of all, beta is so to say the everyday brain wave. And then when we enter like a state of relaxation, and it's also said like the entrance a little bit to the subconscious, that's the alpha state. And the alpha state is like, you know, between then 8 and 15 like vibrations per second. And that's when we start maybe relaxing, or the minute we close our eyes, we are in the alpha state. So that's like, you know, a very good measure, like the method to relax for a little bit. But then we have a little bit, you know, access to our subconscious mind, and we start like a light, slight relaxation. Yeah. And then when we, like most meditations, like, you know, are expected when you start meditating for a while, like you are expected to be in the alpha state. Then when you are like a state of deeper relaxation and restoration, like you enter the theta state, and that is already like you're entering really the subconscious here. And that's like between 4 and 8 like vibrations per second, or 4 and 8 hertz. And that is a really, really important state. And we measured also, like, when we chant Daimoku, like, just to come to this, like, we are very coherent in Theta. I explain later what coherent means. But Theta is already like a brainwave where healing starts, you know, like, for instance, and then the release of certain neurochemicals are associated with Theta. And for instance, like, your brain, when you are coherent in Theta, like, your brain releases dopamine. And this gives you this huge increase in motivation. So you start really being, like, beforehand, maybe you're depressed or stressed out, but as soon as you start to enter the Theta state, I mean, like, your brain releases dopamine. And Theta is a really hypnotic, a receptive state. So now you're in your subconscious mind, and every vision that you now really conjure up or, you know, imprint on your mind in the Theta state, your subconscious mind takes it as real, because your subconscious mind does not distinguish between what you see in reality and what, you know, you see, like, in Theta. So then your brain or your mind, then that's the state where you can really, like, for instance, give yourself new beliefs or, you know, a vision that you want to achieve. Like, for instance, when you chant Daimoku. And then the slowest and lowest in this case here brainwave is the delta brainwave. And the lower and the slower the brainwaves, the more we are in our subconscious mind. And delta is really like theta is still, like, for instance, when we are sleeping and dreaming, but delta is really dreamless sleep. It's really deep, restorative, deep sleep normally. And that's like a reset for the nervous system. That's like when... Yeah. Also, a lot of healing processes, like, already in Theta, a lot of healing processes start, like, you know, your DNA gets repaired, your bone cells get repaired. And in Delta, there's this release of human growth hormone, for instance, or your body releases melatonin or DHEA, these anti-aging hormones. So your whole nervous system, your whole body is going basically through a reset, you know, a phase of deep restoration and relaxation, not just relaxation. Mm-hmm. And Delta is also, like, if you have a look at meditation research, like, this, that you start, for instance, to be really, like, connected to a spiritual level. You know, that you have to go really deep before, for instance, later you can go back up to gamma, but first you have to go down to delta, and then gamma is the highest, really highest, like above beta. But delta is already like associated with, like, a spiritual connection.
And this delta brainwave that Suzanne explains, very important. Especially, you get these lower brain waves in sleeping. And in sleeping, because of theta and delta, it is very important for healing, for regeneration in your body, for bodily health. So this explains how important sound sleep is.
Yes. So it's for your whole repair, and also, for instance, to overcome depression. Like, you know, once you've reached a theta or delta state, and as I said, in theta also there's this release of dopamine, and this is also like an experience, like, because we measured it, we wanted really to measure, like, in what brainwave states do we reach when we chant Daimoku, you know. But so it's really like your everything gets like repaired, your DNA, your bone cells, the white matter in your brain, and you're releasing anti-aging hormones. So it's a really regenerative, restorative state.
And this means because we also produce these theta and delta brainwaves, we measure it, and then it also explains why you can get juvenilized, or younger. You can become younger. You can live longer
when you chant Daimoku, for instance, because normally the states, you reach them when you are asleep. But we measured it that after 10 minutes, we had the deep incoherent theta and delta. And that is normally a state of trance. Mm. So normally you don't reach this kind of coherence and this kind of like amplitude when you have your eyes open. But when you're chanting Daimoku, that's what it. So we could reach the same state as when we had been like going through a really restorative sleep.
I quickly want to sort of, you know, get another question as you are. You gave us this very interesting long explanation of the brain wave states that we can control ourselves. And you are saying that in your book, as you have mentioned, that these brainwave states, right from beta, right now as we are talking, to alpha, which is a connect with the subconscious mind, to your delta and your theta brainwave states, if you're able to touch them while your eyes are open and you're conscious and you're not in the sleeping mode, you're saying that the human mind can do that through this chanting, through a Buddhist chanting that you're talking about. But I just want to understand that why can't we do this? Like everyone is talking about the meditation. They're saying meditation is a way to get into your alpha states, your theta states. And meditation of different forms, when you go online, you can get into your alpha and your theta and other states. So what has been your understanding while you were experimenting with meditation versus the chants? What difference did you see? How fast anyone can get into these states while doing the two of them? If I'm not wrong, chanting is also a form of meditation, and that's a sound meditation, right?
Yes, you just actually said it. Chanting Daimoku is also a form of meditation. A lot of people don't want to see that it's also a meditative state we're entering.
We call it the mantra meditation.
Mantra meditation, yeah? So, of course, there are several ways you can enter these states. You can enter this with silent meditation. You have your eyes closed. You can have a guided meditation. There are different, depending on how trained you are, there are measurements that take different people a different amount of time to get into these states. If you're really a trained meditator or chanting for long, it doesn't take you a long time. And like with me, it was like 10 minutes. I was deeply in this state. But normally meditation, the difference, but there's also a difference. And over our research, like I've always been curious about like what is the difference between like when I do silent meditation and when I do chanting. And for instance, a lot of meditation is like, for instance, the neuroscientist we did the measurement with, he expected us to be in alpha state. And maybe beginning of theta, he was really surprised that we were deep in theta and
to calm down
delta.
So busy mind, right?
It really never was deep in the subconscious mind. But like we did other measurements also, like with a heart coherence, and I always expected like is the case with many meditations, that for instance my parasympathetic nervous system will really, the value for the parasympathetic nervous system will really go up, and the sympathetic nervous system, which stands for stress, if it's activated, you know, will go like will be reduced. But it's not the case. When you chant Daimoku, both is increased. So what it tells us is like we are getting really coherent, and that's you can also get coherent when you do other meditation. But we found out that we get really quickly coherent when we chant Daimoku, and that means like our brain waves, for instance, the two halves of the brain work in unison. And you know, they are like, I mean, they're in a frequency that is like, you know, aligned with each other in a harmonious, you know, line. And you can think of this like the different parts of an orchestra playing in harmony together. And to be in coherence, when the two halves of the brain are in coherence, it's also an efficient use of energy, and it's a high energy state. So even like also like our latest research about heart coherence shows that when we chant Daimoku, we are not relaxed only, because relaxation is a low energy state, but we are highly energized. So, and that really, that's what makes it so possible for us to go out in the world and actually, you know, be energized to do our work, to face, you know, everyday life's like, you know, assignments, like sometimes struggles, you know, because we need energy to do this. Or when you're a salesperson, or like you cannot be completely relaxed and do your radio show, you know, an interview if yes, you're completely yes. relaxed in a state, it's a low energy state. But that's the difference, mainly the difference I would say we have found out so far, you know, and that yeah. chanting yeah. is a really highly coherent and highly energy state. You can also reach that
yeah.
with other forms of meditation, but we found out that chanting together yeah. with several people with always increases yeah. this energy very much, puts you in a very high energy state. No?
Maybe to add the one aspect, yeah. We are normally in a very busy mind. We call it monkey mind, right? Monkey mind means
yes, monkey mind, yeah.
And then you know, spring to the another feelings and thoughts or ideas, and always busy. And when you try to do a silent meditation, and if your mind is busy, it's terribly difficult to concentrate on the meditation and to get your brain calmed down, right? It is also the same in Daimoku chanting. If you go to the practice of chanting Daimoku in this monkey mind state, at first you are always thinking and, you know, regretting or, you know, projecting some future.
I'm wondering what to do. So that means we are not living in the present moment. Therefore, any meditative practice is important to calm down our monkey mind and focus on the present moment.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me something, Suzanne and Yukio, in terms of facing your blockages and about becoming aware of your emotional blockages. And you say that the chants that you're talking about make you more aware. So how do I as an individual, when I become self-aware about myself, identify those emotional blockages?
So concerning your question about emotional blockages, or what are emotional blockages and how to identify them and erase them, it's also like, you know, emotions or our emotional blockages can be like the emotions we are addicted to, because basically we are, or we can be really addicted to our emotions. Our body stores certain emotions. For instance, when you have the tendency to become sad or depressed or to become angry all the time, then your body produces certain neuropeptides. And according to these emotions, and then the cells in your body, they develop certain receptors, and they actually demand, you know, for these neuropeptides. This means that after a while, your body is really longing for certain emotions. That means, like, you know, you have this tendency to become angry all the time. Then you try not to become angry. And then after a while, these are the people who are walking around looking for a fight or looking for somebody to argue with, because their body actually is longing for these emotions. So to become aware, watch and become aware of your emotional tendencies. What is your body always craving for? What emotions do you tend to have, or what do you tend to feel on a regular basis? And these emotions have become an addiction. And in this case, then you can start chanting Daimoku every time you feel a certain emotion you tend to have. For instance, every time you feel sad or depressed or angry, because emotions are also physical. Have a look in your body, you know, where are these emotions stored? A lot of people feel these emotions in their stomach, or maybe in their neck or in their jaw, or, you know, and send Daimoku, like, for instance, to these areas and release those emotions. And early on, we talked about Daimoku being a pattern breaker. So it's also a pattern breaker of emotions. And this is like how you erase them. And then the second step is, which is really, really important, you also have to invoke a new emotion. So if you have the tendency to become sad or depressed, you basically have trained your body or your mind to be in this state. So you have to consciously, when you are chanting or beforehand, embody and feel and have access to a new emotion, like feeling safe, for instance, or when you're always like insecure, or when you have problems in your relationships, you can really invoke the feeling of feeling safe and loved in your relationships. Or when you're feeling sad all the time, you must really consciously every day you should invoke the feeling and feel and embody the feeling of feeling being optimistic or being excited about life or feeling empowered. And it's really, the more you do this, the easier it gets. But we have to actually install these new emotions into our body, yeah, and in a way train them. It's like, you know, maybe we haven't done any sports for years and now we start becoming fit.
Yeah.
And so we have to really retrain our mind and our body and to invoke a certain new emotion. And that's very easy when we're chanting, because we can stop the old emotion. So the question is really, what is karma? We talked about emotions. It's an emotional tendency. But karma originally really means action. It means mental and physical action. It's also like thinking, the way you think, the way you speak, what you speak, how you speak, the way you act, what you do, and also what you're feeling. Of course, these are also karmic tendencies. So karma in general is also like certain emotions and memories that are passed down in your DNA. This is like maybe your family karma, or you know, the attitudes and the emotions also, and the memories you get passed down from your ancestors. And basically, in this sense, karma is also the law of cause and effect. Like whatever you do, think, feel, and say causes an effect. And an effect you will experience now or in the future. And in this sense, karma is also like a habit. As we said, it's an emotional tendency or a habit of speaking, a habit of thinking. And you can also see what, you know, your karmic tendencies by the way you react to things. Mm-hmm. You know, different people react completely differently, like to certain triggers on the outside. I mean, some person gets angry over certain things very easily. The other person can stay calm and solve the situation in a more resourceful way. Mm. And yeah. So according to how you react and according to what is stored inside of you, these are also like, you know, these emotions that are stored inside of you that causes certain experiences that you are attracting.
Mm-hmm.
And but sometimes it looks like the experience is also, the trigger is only on the outside. But when you have, for instance, when you have a lot of anger inside, then you have the tendency to also attract situations which make you angry. And of course, it's not your fault then if somebody, you know, approaches you and behaves in a very bad way. But somehow this is just like also like a reflection of the inner cause you're having. And then the way you react, if you start becoming angry again, then this is another inner cause you're setting to experience the same outer cause again and again. So basically you have to change your inner cause to change your karma in the end.
Maybe to be more concrete, if you look at or remember kind of experiences you have done in the past, especially for instance in relation to in terms of relationships, your friends, your family, right?
These patterns then, like, you know, show you in a way which your internal karma is. So these are all habits also, you know, like it could be like a habit that, for instance, you're worrying all the time, or you're complaining all the time, and this causes, for instance, difficulties in your relationships, or the habit that you are really distrustful and don't trust people. So you can only change it on the inside. And, you know, especially concerning relationships, there are always patterns at work. And always like when relationships fail, it's a big chance to ask yourself, what was my pattern? What was the pattern that led to this event? Because patterns tend to repeat themselves. And because we're feeling the same way. For instance, one woman, maybe she has the pattern or the tendency to just do her own thing and not consider other people, and this always, like, you know, led to problems in her relationships. Or maybe you can have the pattern of really fearing people to leave,
or
you,
to
or
be
the,
very friendly.
To be very, like, nice. To be too friendly, but deep beside or behind it is the pattern that you fear abandonment, that you fear, like, you know, being left alone by people. But this, especially this pattern, exactly then can cause you being, like, you know, people that you are being too nice, for instance, to people, and then they don't take you seriously, and they don't respect you, or you're just being used,
yeah.
And or there's a pattern of maybe lack of self-worth, and it's a well-known fact even in psychology that patterns tend to repeat themselves, like for instance the woman who has the abusive father, I mean, tends sometimes, not always, but is very, like, wants to have a different relationship later on, and finds herself all again in a relationship with an abusive partner. And so once you really feel different, you invoke a different feeling within yourself, because, I mean, this is a different state of consciousness also with the Daimoku. That's when you can change the pattern, when you become more self-confident, for instance.
Yeah. So some very good points coming in this answer, UQ and Suzanne. Basically, karma is the pattern that's stored in your life subconsciously that you need to go out there and break it to create new patterns, to create new karma, if you want to change the outcome in your life. And that starts with first identifying and knowing your own self. With self-awareness, you will realize that your brain is functioning coherently or not coherently. And first, you need to get your brain in a coherent fashion. And Yukio and Suzanne's book talks about getting your brain coherent with chantings and daimakus that they're talking about. And of course, there is silent meditation also, but their research is primarily based on the daimaku, which is a form of chanting. And so once you get into the coherent state of your brain and you're able to tap through your brainwave states and get into your deeper brainwave states, or rather the slower brainwave states called theta or the gamma brainwave states, is when you'll be able to tap your subconscious mind, which controls 95% of your life, and tapping that would enable you to go there and shift your blockages or shift the patterns of your life to be able to create a new life. Am I right?
So all of these examples show that our emotions are not easy to control, because we act only as it is very known in the psychology that we act only 5% from conscious mind, while 95% subconscious. It is the all informations or experiences are stored in our body. And now when we think how to change our karma, which is stored deep in our body, and this also shows that it is so-called psychotherapy, psychoanalytical approach is not enough, because the problem lies in the subconscious area, and we can't change our karma only on any cognitive level. So from our Buddhist perspective, we can change our karma only by karma free zone. It is a pure consciousness. And therefore, this is the reason why we need to practice this mantra meditation or any meditative practice, because then we come or tap into the area or spiritual level which is free of karma. It is free of our ego experiences. In our Buddhist teaching, we have a deep psychological model. According to that, we have in the subconscious layer, one individual subconscious layer, and then collective layer, which includes family or ancestors and nations and human beings. And this pure consciousness is considered to be found under the under all these collective karmas. So then when we chant Daimoku, we tap into this deepest level, which is, we say, a Buddha nature or a pure consciousness. We activate our pure consciousness in our own lives, but this pure consciousness is also prevalent everywhere in the universe. So it means on this deepest level, we are connected to the cosmos.
So in order to actually really change our karma, we need this access to pure consciousness, because it's a karma-free zone, and it acts like a washing machine. it is not conditioned by karma. So we need this pure, clean consciousness. And this actually allows us, but it's also very important to become aware of your karmic pattern and to then invoke and have access to pure consciousness, and then to change it while you are like chanting, and to invoke a new habit and to invoke a new feeling, which is possible through the access to pure consciousness, because otherwise we are always very bound by our karmic tendencies, because they're very strong. But this access to pure consciousness actually liberates us from this pattern, so we can install new patterns, new thoughts, new emotions, new habits, and new ways of thinking and feeling.
We have for that some certain principles. The one important principle is the simultaneity of cause and effect. Usually karma means you earn what you sow, cause and effect. But from the perspective of time, they are separate. At first cause, and then later it causes effect. But in when we make a vision or set a goal on the spiritual level of a pure consciousness, then it happens simultaneously. As when we set a cause, the effect is there. When it appears in our daily reality, it is the question of time. But anyway, so therefore we have also the principle that we can start our life anew every day. Every time when we chant Daimoku, we can start our life anew, but starting from the level of pure consciousness. This is the reason why we need this Buddhist practice.
Basically trying to say, okay, about the pure consciousness, you need to, so you were saying that it is actually the delta state that takes you to the pure consciousness, which is beyond the theta state. So my question is, that when we're talking about tapping the pure consciousness, which is beyond the theta, the delta state, which is actually a deep sleep state, and you're saying it, tapping it consciously and not unconsciously. You're tapping this with your eyes open. How do we know in what brainwave states we are in? Because we are normal people, you know, everyday people living in a survival mode. So how do we know we are mostly in a beta state? So how do we know what brainwave states we are in? And how do we get in? How do we know that we are getting into the slower brainwave states? How do we feel? Because you've already got into those brainwave states and you have measured yourself in your experiments with different brainwave states. So how do you know what brainwave state you are in?
Well, as long as you still like very, like as Yuki mentioned earlier, I have this wandering mind, this monkey mind. You're thinking about what to get for dinner, who to call, what to say tomorrow. You're still in beta, obviously.
Yeah.
And the more you enter like yes. alpha or even theta, first of all, the outer world, you're more focusing on the inner world than the outer world. It's going away, you know. Like in our case, like we're focusing more and concentrating more on the Gahonzon chanting, and you're in a little bit in a trance state. And I can only answer this for myself. I can feel already like my emotion changing, like getting in a better mood, feeling more positive, feeling joy coming up, or more energized. I feel more energized. So I feel, more, my mood is changing, and I feel this clearness in my head. And I think this is the it neutrals your emotions. Like, what is really like bothering, I think, everybody is our emotions, you know, being fearful, being nervous. I mean, thinking about this, about that. And when it comes, comes you in an energized way, and you can measure it very easily by measuring your heart coherence, for instance. And then you can see that every thought you have and every emotion, like, you know, changes your coherence state immediately. So it's a difference how we chant also, you know, whether when we're constantly thinking about something else and we're distracted,
yes.
we cannot reach this state easily. So we have to really like let go of what's ever on our mind and just try to become one with the Gahonzon, as Yuki always very describes as Kyoji Myogo. That's one of his favorite
For
topics.
Instance, you can I don't know, you chant also to become one with the mandala Gohonzon, or you are thinking always, I want to this and that and so. How do you chant?
Yeah, so I have been introduced to different forms of meditation, and one of them is also about the third eye meditation, where you're focusing on your third eye. That's a silent meditation. But then, you know, I take some time to get there. As I said, you know, when my mind is monkey mind, then it takes me a lot of time to start to forget everything. But when I decide to do a mantra meditation, more sound meditation, the Dhyanakum chants is when I immediately come, you know, to the focus. But then, you know, I'm also sort of trying to, you know, dig deeper into it and trying and understanding that am I able to tap the pure consciousness or not? And how do I know that I'm tapping the pure consciousness, you know?
There are some signs. For instance, if I chant and if I become one with the mandala Gohonzon, for instance, the mantra, Nammyoho Renkyo, in the middle of the mandala begins to dance, you know? Or I feel really on the third eye, I feel so any concentration. But anyway, my mind becomes so clear. My feeling becomes also so clear. Then this is for me a good sign that I am in the meditative state. And this meditative state, I think also you can do through another silent meditation. But But in case of our mantra meditation, Daimoku chanting, it's a very efficient, and we can reach it very quickly.
These physical signs, you know, like your emotions become clear. A lot of people said this is even the biggest, benefit for them, like there's nothing else that can like really clear the emotions so quickly. People smoke cigarettes, drink alcohol just to numb the emotion. But you become clear in your head, in your body, this joy rises up. And then you can also measure it, as I said, like measure your heart coherence. The more you coherent you are, the more you are reaching this state. And it's a process. You know, sometimes you're very coherent and then you realize every thought you already have again, or about tomorrow or about tonight, zack, your coherence drops. So then you realize you have to keep this state also. That's also a training.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just once you do
it. Yes, keeping the state is as difficult.
And once you reach it, you've reached it for the rest of your life. It's like, it's in a way, it's like sports. I mean, like, what is fitness? How do you know that you reach the state of fitness? Because you feel better, you feel fitter. Yeah. And because you every time, like sometimes you reach it high. You don't reach it because you're tired and you're distracted. And it's the same with the chanting Daimoku. And so you have to practice it, actually.
Yeah, that's a great line that you just said, that how do you know that you're fit, you know? You know that you're fit when you reach that stage. So it's the same way with your life.
The same with your life. I mean, like, it's also because, as I said, it's a process. It's not you do it once and you're like in this state all for the rest of your life. The more you invoke this state, the more you feel better, but you also, your life changes on the outside. Because the outside is always a reflection of the inside. Your relationships become better. You know, step by step, you become to do more the things you really love doing, or your financial situation improves, or you find where to move, where you want to, like, to fulfill your dreams and your visions. And this is also like your environment changes for the better. Sometimes it can break down when it's not so good, but always for something better to emerge. And so there are different signs, physically.
And the important thing is, in this meditative state, time, space, and ego disappear. You are in another spiritual level.
You're beyond time and space. Beyond time and space. And that is actually the space where the change happens, where there are many possibilities, where you can choose the different possibilities, where healing takes place. You have to go beyond time and space.
And this is very similar phenomena to the flow. Have you heard? Or do you know the term flow? Yeah. You are immersed, you forget yourself, you forget time and so on. Also, this is a kind of a meditative state.
And you know, the thing is, because...
And the important thing is the flow happens also in the level of 7.8 hertz. It is a... between alpha and theta,
But, you know, for instance, sometimes maybe you think, you chanted and you didn't feel maybe enlightened, or you didn't feel, you know, but it's not wasted. Because like when we measured all the heart coherence all the time, as we described in our new book, like, you know, we always reach, like we change our baseline of coherence. That means we change our emotional, our state of life step by step by chanting regularly. You do actually change the baseline also in your brain. So your brain automatically sees more positive things. And so it's once you reach it, when you become one with the Gohonzon and you feel this joy and this tingling, some feel tingling, some feel like an energy, clearness of your mind, of your feeling. But it's also a process that changes your whole life step by step, because it changes your baseline.
And
your complete state.
The important aspect is that in this meditative state, you are connected to the cosmic consciousness, right? Then the universe, yeah, started to cooperate with you, supports you. So therefore, then you make the experience synchronicity.
Yeah.
It is for us a so important concept, synchronicity.
And that's something you could have not arranged yourself, you know. For instance, I don't know, somebody calls you from 10,000 miles away and gives you exactly the right information or job you need, or, you know, this is something you could have not arranged, or you meet the right person. Mm. I mean, like when I started chanting, I really was looking for a new job, and I went to a supermarket. I met by coincidence a former friend of mine, and she was working in a publishing house, and they needed somebody like me. And so, you know, I couldn't have arranged this. This is the kind of support then you get from the universe, like the synchronicity.
Mystic coincidences.
And you could not arrange this with your own mind.
Mystic coincidence, yeah.
Programming. So this is the support from the universe. Support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lovely, lovely, lovely. I think I just absolutely enjoyed reading your book, Change Your Brainwaves. And I feel that people should read it to get more insights into how our brain functions, and also to become more self-aware and get more empowered, because it gives you a lot of empowering thoughts that your life or your destiny is not under the control of somebody else. But actually, if you change your inner life, you'll be able to transform the environment outside. So your inner life dictates your outside world. Yeah. So it's lovely. Thank you so much, UQ and Susanna. Absolutely enjoyed chatting with you and reading your book as well.
Thank you. We enjoyed it.
So what do you guys think? Well, I, for my part, have been experimenting with it for quite some time. I also follow Dr. Joe Dispenza and Bruce Lipton very diligently. And I have, through my experimentations, come to know that yes, it does work, and it does enable you to what we call about various facets of law of attraction. But it is something that you will have to experiment and check if how fast it works, what is the speed, and what exactly it does to your being. And do check out the book. That's going to give you a lot of clarity in terms of brainwaves and changing your karma.